Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Apostle Paul addressed the Corinthians, he told them that he was determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The preaching that comes from the pulpit should always be gospel preaching. It should always be about the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonders of His grace, and what that means for our daily lives. The Apostle John begins his first letter by focusing on Jesus Christ. He does not even issue a greeting or speak any other introductory words. Instead, there is a declaration about Jesus Christ and what He means for our lives. John speaks about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Note the close connection to the beginning of the Gospel of John, where we also hear about the Word who was with God in the beginning. That Word is Jesus Christ, God's light sent into this dark world to bring life to all who believe. As an eye and ear witness of the ministry of Jesus Christ, John declares to us the good news of the gospel. And what is that good news he testifies to us? In the first few verses of this letter, John gives us an overview of the promises of the gospel. He speaks about eternal life, about fellowship with one another, and about fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, "These things we write to you, so that your joy may be full." John recognizes that as human beings, we have an insatiable longing to be happy. There are other things that can motivate us. Sometimes the desire to make others happy, or a fear of punishment if we're caught doing something wrong. Yet one of the strongest human passions is a desire for happiness, for true joy and contentment in life. John knows, and he declares to us, that such joy can only be found in fellowship with Christ. He promises that in Christ our joy will be full, complete. If fellowship with Christ is the only way to complete joy, then this should be our greatest pursuit. Our question should be, how do we obtain this fellowship with Christ? How is my fellowship with Christ maintained? Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, a meal of fellowship with Christ and with each other. To prepare for that, let's consider the basis of our fellowship with Christ. Let's ponder on the urgent call of the gospel to live in fellowship with Him. Let's humble ourselves before God, realizing we are sinners who need His grace every day again. So let us prepare ourselves for a joyous celebration where we remember all that Christ has done for us. I preach you the Word of God under the following theme. John calls us to walk in God's light so that we may have fellowship with Him. We'll consider the foundation for fellowship, the call to fellowship, and the warning not to break fellowship. John summarizes the gospel message for us in verse 5 of our text. He says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." Before we can have fellowship with God, we must recognize who He is, We must know that God is light, that in Him there is no darkness at all. Light and darkness are images. We are quite familiar with these images. We use them in everyday speech. At times we may speak about the darkness of a person's heart. That's never a compliment. It's a reference to some aspect of sin in which a person is entangled, which causes them to relate to others in a negative way. But if we speak about the light that shines from certain people's lives, it's a total opposite. We are attracted to such people because they're full of life. They are happy and content. In Scripture, light is associated with life, darkness with death. Light is associated with joy, darkness with despair. Light is associated with the truth, darkness with the lie. At the beginning of time, on the first day of creation, God created light. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. What God did in creation, He also does in the redemption of His people. Many times God is associated with light, always to the benefit of His people. Think about what God did when He led Israel out of Egypt, through the wilderness to the promised land. Exodus 13 verse 21 tells us that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. Exodus 14 verse 20 tells us that when Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Lord stood between His people and the Egyptians, and that the pillar of fire gave the Israelites light while leaving the Egyptians in darkness. The pillar of light was a symbol of God's presence among His people on the way to the promised land. We know that after Moses appeared in the presence of God, he had to wear a veil. The reason was that his face shone brightly, reflecting some of the glory of God. Scripture makes clear a very close association between God and light. It wants to convey to us that it's only in God we can find life. We all know that we are totally dependent on physical light for life. Plants need light to grow. Without the sun, life on this earth would soon cease. And beloved, this also applies spiritually. We need the light of God's presence in our lives. Without it, we are dead. God's covenant people sang of this in Psalm 27, they sang, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And later in the same psalm, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple." So we see that God is our light, that He gives life. Aaron's blessing that the priest used to bless the people reflects this. Each Sunday we hear these words of blessing spoken to us in the benediction. We hear the words, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace." It's when God shines forth His face, His light upon us, that we have life. The close association between God and light carries through into the New Testament. There we see that Jesus is the light that gives life to men. The coming of the Messiah was promised already by the prophets in the Old Covenant. To a people taken into captivity, Isaiah proclaims words of promise. He comforts those who lived in darkness and despair with the assurance the Messiah was coming. In chapter 60, Isaiah says to Zion, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." Matthew makes clear in chapter 4, verse 16, that Jesus came in fulfillment of this prophecy. He quotes from Isaiah saying, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He came to save us from sin and death. God's creation of light at the beginning of time is a great and glorious truth. Yet it has been paled by the coming of Jesus Christ. For just as God proclaimed, "Let there be light," so God has once and for all spoken in these last days by His Son, who is the light. John reveals this to us in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Concerning Christ, he says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it." In John 1, verse 9, John says that Christ is the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. What John 1 teaches us is that Jesus Christ is our light and our salvation. Paul makes this clear in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. He says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So we see that the God who created light for the life of men has sent His Son to be the light through whom we are saved. In declaring that God is light, John proclaims to us the joyous gospel message. For sinful man living in darkness and despair, there is hope. Light is the promise of life, of joy. If you draw near to God, you do not find a dark, forbidding truth. You find freedom, peace, safety, comfort. There are no regrets for those who seek their life in Jesus Christ. For it's through fellowship with the God of light that our joy is made full. In our first point, we've considered the foundation for fellowship, that God is light. In our second point, we'll consider the call to fellowship, that we are to walk in the light. Verses 6 and 7 of our text draw out the practical application of this truth about God being light. In these verses, John refutes some of the heresies that false teachers were spreading among God's people. John makes it clear that if we want true fellowship with the God of light, then we also need to walk in His light. To understand this, it's helpful to see how the Lord Jesus calls us to walk in the light. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In John 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. In John 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. The Apostle Paul repeats the call for us to be children of the light. You can read about that in Ephesians 5. In verse 8, Paul said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul goes on to explain that as Christians, we are to show forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We are to show forth goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them. Then Paul utters a call to those who are asleep, to those who are dead in their sins, to those who walk in the darkness. Paul says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You see, beloved, in this world there are two kinds of people. There are those who belong to the light, and there are those who belong to the darkness. There are those who love Christ and who seek to serve Him. There's also those who hate Christ and who show this by doing their own will. The difference between the two is the difference between life and death. Those who are of the light have life. Those who walk in darkness are under God's curse. If they persist in their ways, they will be cast into the outer darkness. So, beloved, what kind of person are you? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the light of the world? Do you seek your hope and your salvation only in Him? Or are you someone who loves darkness rather than the light? The answer you give to these questions is very important. It spells the difference between life and death. John makes this clear in our text. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. To walk in darkness is the same as being controlled by the sinful desires of the flesh. If we're controlled by desires for the world rather than desire for God, then it doesn't matter if we say we have fellowship with God. We don't. Instead, we walk in darkness. To claim a connection to Christ and yet live a sinful lifestyle is hypocrisy. Faith in the Son of God will manifest itself in fruits of faith. If the Spirit lives in us, the light of Christ will shine from us. In verse 7 of our text, John gives the positive side of the application of the teaching that God is light. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light is the opposite of walking in darkness. It means that we seek the fulfillment of all our desires in Jesus Christ, instead of in the fleeting pleasures of this world. If God is light and there is no darkness in him at all, then he is the bright pathway to the fulfillment of all our deepest longings. Beloved, our deepest longings can never be satisfied by the material things of life. Often we strive after them, but they do not give lasting joy. Only Christ can give us true comfort and joy. Only in him do we find contentment, peace for our souls. These are the things that we receive as we walk with God, as we do his will. There is a walk, a lifestyle that results from the miracle of the new birth. Take, for example, the life of the Apostle Paul. As a Jew, a Pharisee, and teacher of the law, he believed in righteousness by works, that he had to earn his salvation by living according to the law of God. Then the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Paul saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around him. He heard the Lord Jesus speaking to him, calling him to repentance and life. The result was that Paul was a changed man. He saw himself as the chief of all sinners. Yet he knew that in Christ he was righteous before God, that the blood of Christ washed him from all his sins. Paul changed. He changed from being a persecutor of the church to being one of its greatest missionaries. He suffered much hardship and privation. Paul was flogged, imprisoned, stoned, chased out of many places because of his faith. Yet, Paul was content. He knew of the living hope there was in Christ, and so he feared nothing. His life was a life of joy. He gloried in God's grace in Christ. Beloved, how is that with you? Does the light of Christ shine forth from you? When people meet you, are they drawn to you? Do they sense there's something different about you? Do they see calmness in the face of adversity? Fearlessness in the face of attack? Do they sense the fullness of your joy? That peace that surpasses understanding? The certainty of your hope in God? Or are you no different to them than your unbelieving neighbor? Yes, beloved, like you, I am aware that our lives are not perfect. I only have to look at myself to see many sins, many weaknesses, many shortcomings. Yet I know that I'm a child of God, that he has granted his Spirit to me. It is the Spirit who helps us to live as children of light. We all know that there is a distinct difference between light and darkness. If we walk with God, our lives will reflect that. Then the light of Christ will shine from us. This brings us to our final point, and we'll consider John's warning not to break fellowship. In the final verses of our text, the Apostle John provides a further clarification. John has drawn a link between our conversion and our conduct. If you believe that Jesus is the light of the world, then you seek your life in Him. You'll also reflect that by walking in the light. Some false teachers in John's day took that one step too far. They said that your conduct after conversion must be perfect. They actually believed it was possible to live a perfect life of holiness before God. John responded to that by stating in verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." In verse 10 he says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make Him," that's God, "to be a liar, and His word is not in us." The claim to be without sin is self-deception. The reason a person could be so self-deceived is only if the truth has found no place in his heart. And if the truth has not taken residence in our heart, then we are still in darkness, without God and without Christ. When God's light shines on our hearts, it does not instantaneously drive out all falsehood and sin. Beloved, that's a battle that lasts a lifetime. Yet when the truth enters into our hearts, its light reveals sin. The mark of a saint is not sinlessness, but sin consciousness. Most of us have grown up in families and in a church where the doctrines of man's depravity and sinfulness are well accepted. It is one thing in general to confess man's corruption. It's another to personally confess the specific sins we commit. That's exactly what John urges us to do. If we don't confess our sins, we break communion with our Father in heaven. You cannot have fellowship with God apart from the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Thus, John teaches us, saying, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, beloved, it is our sins that break down our fellowship with God. Unconfessed sins destroy intimate communion with our Heavenly Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When we refuse to humble ourselves before God, then we cannot walk in His light. Then we do not experience the fullness or the peace that surpasses understanding. Instead, we are discontent, restless, striving for happiness but never finding it. Trying, 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 but never getting there. Facing disappointment after disappointment, struggle after struggle, but never getting anywhere. Beloved, humble yourself before God in prayer. Call upon Him and pour out your heart to Him. Confess all your sins. Seek forgiveness in the blood of Christ. Ask God to dwell in you richly by His Spirit, to guide you by His Word. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Seek your life in Him. Allow Him to satisfy your hungry and thirsty soul, that you too may share in the promises of the gospel, in fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, in eternal life, in the fullness of joy. next Sunday, we may share a foretaste of that in our celebration of the Lord's Supper. May we prepare ourselves to meet our Lord. Amen.